There is an old Arab saying, when the flute is heard in Zanzibar, all Africa east of the lakes must dance. I recorded that flute and violin sitting in an Arab house late one evening, after midnight it was, at the end of a whole evening of music. Arab Swahili hospitality, their love of music, their fine manners, their devotion to their religion and their sense of humour all go to make up the atmosphere of Zanzibar and the Swahili coast. But let's go back a bit and get the coast in perspective. The continent of Africa, south of the equator, it seems to me, has had an independent existence since the ancient ages, remote and unknown. Modern history, in our own sense, only began with the explorers, the Portuguese, the English and the Dutch. But when you get to Zanzibar and the Swahili coast, you're back again in the great stream of world history. Here you find the umbilical cord which connected southern and central Africa with the Middle East, with the great civilizations of the East. First came the Persians, the Shirazi, and from what one can gather, the chances are that they were the first to settle on the island of Zanzibar and to explore the coast right away down to Sofala. In fact, some people think that they were the first to visit the goldfields of Monomotapa. The first large-scale Arab invasion was around about the 11th century. They came down in their great sailing ships, their dhows, sailing before the northeast monsoon like great white butterflies on the face of the ocean. Every year since then, they've come down on the northerly monsoon in November and December and sailed away back again to the Persian Gulf on the southerly monsoon 3 or 4 months later, the oldest shipping line in the world. It's still one of the great sights of the coast when the dhows come back again, bringing with them Persian carpets, dates, silverware and pottery. There's great excitement as the first dhows sail up the estuary. It's definitely one of the typical sounds of the coast when the Arab sailors enter the ancient harbours such as Zanzibar and Mombasa, singing their famous songs, or when they row their longboats across from one great dhow at anchor to another as their captains pay each other their courtesy visits. As luck would have it, I've never been in Mombasa when the dhows came in, but from what I hear, this kind of song, which we recorded up at Malindi, another ancient Arab settlement up the coast, sounds very like the songs the sailors sing. It's one of their sword dances. Arabs were in undisputed possession of the coast and the islands, Pemba, Zanzibar and Mafia, for 400 years, and then the Portuguese arrived on their way to and from India in the 16th century and built their great forts, Fort Jesus on Mombasa Island and the fort on Zanzibar Island. Incidentally, it was the Portuguese who first established the city of Zanzibar, not the Arabs. The town as we know it today is much younger, 19th century. They had a very tough time, the Portuguese, trying to control the whole coast against the determined Arabs, and yet, in spite of all their many difficulties, they remained in Mombasa for 3 times as long as the English have yet been there. And then the Arabs came again in force and remained the masters of the coast until the Germans and the English arrived. Now, this Arab period was the period of great trade and prosperity. Zanzibar was the seat of the powerful Sultan, Sayyid Said. And it was then that all Africa east of the lakes danced when the pipe was heard in Zanzibar. And then you may remember, the Germans took over and swapped Zanzibar with England for Heligoland. And with the arrival of the British, the Indians came too. And so the Swahili coast had its 6th invasion in 1,000 years. Every one of them has left its mark. But of course the deepest impression was made by the Arabs and their Muslim religion. They intermarried with the local Africans and gradually formed the Swahili peoples we know today. Their Moorish ancestry has given them a charm and maturity you don't often find in the interior, and of course has left a strong legacy of a special kind of music. You can't be long in any of the coast towns to be reminded that you're in a Muslim country. Now this is a local teacher reciting a chapter from the sacred Quran, Suratin Noor. He was a large, handsome man with a close-cropped beard and moustache, and he was wearing the typical Muslim dress of a white kanzu and an Arab style of turban. His name was Al-Ustad Ahmed Bashek. Now, if that reading of the Quran was not enough to remind you that you were in an Islamic country, then you had only to go a short distance along the road to a little lane leading off a main street to hear this kind of music outside a small clubhouse where an enthusiastic band of musicians sang and played Swahili music. There are two distinct varieties of Swahili music, or rather, I should say, three kinds nowadays, the Arab kind, the African kind, and the Indian kind. Now, this is what we recorded that day, sitting outside in the lane, in the shade of a fig tree, one Saturday afternoon. I was not at all prepared for Arabian music, after all the African music we'd been recording. In fact, I'd never heard any until we got it to Dar es Salaam the first time. So the fact that African natives were so readily playing Arabian style of music came as something of a surprise. As it turned out, you can find every shade of music, from the genuine Arabian to the altogether African. And in between comes a great deal of music which appears to be influenced from further east still, from the growing Indian community there. Music such as this next item, for example, which has its spiritual home well beyond the Persian Gulf. It was rather amusing recording this song, incidentally, because the women who took part, being strict Mohammedans, were not allowed to show their faces, and so they sang enveloped in their black veils, their buibuis, and all I could see in front of my microphone were these black-robed figures with little puffs of air which occasionally shook their veils in front of their faces as they sang. African quarters of these coastal towns, you find a marvellous variety of musical styles, from purely African and Arabian on the one hand, to unadulterated English and American on the other. I'll play you a selection. Now, this next recording was typical of the town dance bands you find in all three towns, Dar es Salaam, Zanzibar, and Mombasa. The young men who make the music are not at all well off, and they make do with homemade instruments, and they're a very happy crew. They call themselves, in this case, the Dar es Salaam Jazz Band, and their battery of instruments was made up of these items. 3 homemade drums, 2 rattles made of old condensed milk tins, 1 very ancient violin, 1 still older clarinet with most of its movable stops out of action, a ukulele and a banjo, both of which had seen better days, and the same could be said of the 3 ancient guitars. We had to give them new strings before they could even play them at all. 2 sticks, which they struck together, and to substitute for the saxophones, which they hadn't a hope of buying, 2 old motor car horns, which they sang through. It made a thoroughly cheerful noise in a song which was all the rage on the coast at the time, called Nemipatam Penzim Totum Dogum Zuri Simwachi. I have a sweet young girl whom I will never leave. It's a very catchy tune. In the same district lived a Nubian, Bwagajuga by name. His grandfather had been one of General Gordon's soldiers who marched up into the Equatoria province of the Sudan, as it was then called, to establish the protectorate of Uganda. Many of these Nubian soldiers stayed put in the forts they established and married the local beauties, and never went home down north towards Khartoum. And their half-Nubian sons and grandsons can be found all over East Africa, and this one, Bwagajuga, is the local cafe singer. He accompanies himself on a guitar and sang us several songs. This one, translated, runs something like this. Pole Mama Kitwana, excuse me, Mama Kitwana, you are so beautiful when you cook. You are so beautiful when you wash your pots, but so much more beautiful when you go to bathe.
Pole Mama Kitwana, Pole Mama Kitwana, Nakupa pole, Bopeziwe. Pole mama kitwana, pole mama kitwana, nakupa pole mupenzi we. Kufika kwako matata, kufua kwako matata, hata kuoga matata, nakupa pole mupenzi we. Kufika kwako matata.
All the coast towns are very cosmopolitan. There are, they say, at least 20 tribal communities from upcountry, which all lead a relatively tribal social life in their various quarters of the town, quite apart from the Arabs, the semi-Arabs, the Goanese, the Indians, and the few white people. It's a wonderful mixture, and what strikes one at once is the marvellous way in which they all get along happily with each other. The majority, I understand, are Muslims, and as you walk around the narrow streets of the older sections of the towns, you frequently hear the sound of children reciting in school at the tops of their voices. This next record was a group of bright-eyed small Swahili boys of the more Arab type singing a qasida, a Muslim religious chant.